This is Weekend Breakfast.
Hey, when it comes to, naming a pet, for someone who has a baby, yourself, Indy, who's now, 8 months or nine months?
Nearly nine.
What was the difference as the importance of naming between a pet and an animal? Because I've never had to name a baby. So, you know, I only know how important it is when it comes to naming a pet. What's the difference?
If someone wants to say there's a responsibility with naming your dog, you're an idiot. But there is a responsibility with naming your child because obviously they're going to be, you got to think about it. I was like, Indy, her real name, Indiana. I'm like, okay, how can kids at the sandbox twist this into a cruel name? Okay, I think she's good. She might get Indiana Jones. Maybe that reference doesn't work in 10 years. I think we're good. But with a dog, call it whatever you want because it doesn't matter. Call it Frank. I love Frank for a name.
But seriously, though, you're probably going to be yelling out the dog's name a lot more than what you're yelling out.
I mean, don't call your dog Hitler. It's not going to work well at the dog park.
Okay.
Now,
you've got a golden retriever.
I do.
Winston. How did you come up with Winston's name?
What I did was let Emily pick. Do you know why?
Okay.
Because it meant nothing to me. I'd like to say something poetic like, oh, we named him after Winston Churchill. But then I also think, would Winston Churchill want to be named, represented his legacy in a golden retriever? I doubt it.
Yeah, but Winston's beautiful. I would be. Anyway.
I did name my dog Buckets, my ass dog, a Great Dane. And I named him that because I had a dream once that I was going to have two Great Danes, Buckets and Spades. Unfortunately, didn't get the second. But Buckets was a really fun, an amazing name for a dog. Worked well.
Right. Okay. Well, here's the thing. I am someone who, I love dogs. And fortunately, because I rent a lot and I move a lot, I can't have a dog with me right now. And so anyone who has a dog that's around me, I adopt. And that one at the moment is a blue cattle dog called Winnie. Now, Winnie's a bit important because she has two names. Her name is Winnie Blues. She's named after a packet of cigarettes. Now, my brother named his dog. He has three little girls who wanted to call the dog Bluey.
Of course.
She's a blue cattle
dog.
That's
an amazing name for a dog. That would work really well.
My brother watches so much Bluey, he just can't stand the name. He went with Winnie Blues. The girls call her Bluey.
That's so funny. If you're angry with your dog, I still couldn't resist going, Bluey! Bluey!
Instead, right, so I run with this dog every single day. And and I post a lot about her on my Instagram. Mm-hmm. And, you know, always because I call her Winnie or state that her name's Winnie Blues. And then I have to say that, she's named after a packet of ciggies. So I thought, 13, 10, 60, not just dogs, but how did you give your pet a name?
And like, if you get on the air with
us, what was the origin of it?
13, 10, 60, Tony on the Central Coast, how did you come up with a name for your pet?
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
So it's not actually me, it's my mum. So she has a blue cattle dog as well. And she's very devoted to her dog, that sleeps in the same bed as her, follows her everywhere. And she's obsessed with The Rock, the actor and the wrestler.
Yep.
So she named her dog Dwayne because she thinks it's the closest she'll ever get to him.
So she sleeps with The Rock every night.
It's a very sad when you put it like that, isn't it?
Okay, I'm going to call my dog Jason. Jason Statham. Okay. I'm going to call him Statham.
Jackie, how did you come up with the name for your pet?
Hey, guys. So we obviously, you know, as 20-year-olds, spent a lot of time at Macca's at 3 a.m. and things like that. And decided that Nugget was a really great name for a pet. So ended up with two cats. So we called the big one Nugget and the little one Fries.
Genius.
Oh, I love that. That's kind of like the whole Buckets and Spade thing.
Yeah, Fillet of Fish doesn't work as well for a name. Brooke in Melbourne, how did you come up with a name for your pet?
Hi, guys. So I have two chihuahuas. I have one that's like a light beigey colour. So I named her Chai after chai latte. And then the other one in like a darker brownie colour and his name's Mocha.
Brooke?
I love that.
Let's go to you, Chris in Melbourne. What is your story of naming your pet?
So we fostered dogs for a little while and we adopted one of them. He was from a litter that was all named after Big Bang Theory characters. So we got Sheldon, which is, you can't change that, right?
Yeah, Sheldon Cooper, great name.
So we kept Sheldon and then we tossed it again and we ended up adopting another one from another litter and took about a week to decide. So we ended up having to call her Penny.
Sheldon and Penny.
That's you know it. What? I just think because you're so supportive of the adoption, I reckon you deserve our salt and pepper voucher. $200 coming nice. Your way. $200 really, voucher oh, coming brilliant. Your way.
Love that. Sharon and Rosebud, wrap this up for us. How'd you name your pet?
We've had dogs all our lives, and when I was about 12, I was given a dog, and I obviously couldn't name her. So I named her the first four letters of my first name, which is Sharon, and Lee, my second name, so she was Charlie.
Oh, Charlie. You know some parents do that with their kids?
Yeah. Bring the both parents' name together and bring it in. And that's how you end up with a name like Caden.
Yeah.
Wow.
Or Rayar.
This is Weekend Breakfast.
Well, The Bachelor kicked off on Wednesday with a bang. Certainly interesting viewing. For the first time ever, having a bachelorette who is willing to have both male and female and everything in between come out the limousine doors. Brooke, it must have been a long-awaited arrival on the red carpet and to be on the other side of it. Welcome.
Aw, hello, guys. Thank you for having me.
Morning.
No worries at all.
I don't think there's enough words to sort of describe what my season was like. I think the biggest word for me, like, to describe this season, it's just... It would be amazing. Like, yeah, amazing to film, an amazing experience. Nothing that I would ever regret. I absolutely loved this whole experience.
Now, Brooke, we heard at the announcement of you being the bachelorette that it was going to be a mix of genders. So it's 8 men, 8 women. But my question for you is, and then also we heard that you were happy for people to maybe seek relationships within the house. How does this year differ to Love Island then? And also... What would you do if you felt a really big connection with someone and then found out one of the other people was feeling a connection in the house? Would you feel a little bit like you're kicking yourself if you had opened up that opportunity for other people?
I think obviously having female and males definitely changes the dynamic of the show, which is the whole purpose of doing this, right? But, you know, I guess like how would you navigate if someone else was, you know, said that they were seeing someone else or had feelings for someone else? And then, you know, it's just about communication. Like it's just like normal dating. I know it's a reality TV show, but you've still got to navigate those conversations as you would if you were dating in the real world and the outside. Like, yeah, it's not anything different. And people are going to feel connections with other people, whether they want to explore it. That's just... It is what it is, and I can't control that. I can only control my reaction to it and whether I would still want to continue to pursue it or whether they want to continue to pursue a relationship with me. So,
okay.
Yeah.
What happens if you get to the point where, sorry, Angus, you know, if they say you really like a guy and you really like a girl and then those two really like each other, would you consider, I guess, like a bit of a throuble as well? Like, is that on the cards?
A polyamorous relationship. I've seen so many, like, you know, like headlines and articles and stuff like, maybe she'll pick both at the end. But, no, look, I can confirm that I only pick one and I'm really happy. But I think also, you know, people are always going to – this is so new for everyone. But the thing is, it shouldn't actually be so new. Like, you know, this is – people are in same-sex relationships. People are in hetero relationships. Yeah. It's nothing new. Like, it's just a different dynamic to the franchise, which is really exciting. It's a huge shift in the show, but also a huge shift for globally. I think, you know, the US have never done it, and I feel like this is huge for Australia to do. But also, like, you know, the whole basis of the Bachelor franchise is that the Bachelorette or the Bachelor fall in love, and can confirm extremely happy.
Nice.
What's the craziest rumor that you have heard about yourself, though? Like, I'm sure you both not the Daily Mail and you're like, what?
There's been quite a few. I can't even list them. I feel like this year has probably been obviously the most that I've ever been in articles and sort of rumored and speculation. There was a rumor that I was in a love triangle with an AFL footballer and G Flip. That was quite funny.
Interesting one. Can I throw one at you? And obviously after watching the show on Wednesday, we know who is in the cast. We know who your potential suitors are. But what would you have done if the honey badger Nick Cummins came out the limo and said, I'm back, and that was a big twist?
Oh, I think my heart would have sank and been like, what on earth are you doing here?
You had your chance. Get away from me. That's, I'll be like, jump back in that limo.
Would you have given him a second chance? Would he have got a rose the first time or gone within the first rose ceremony?
I honestly would just think that it would be a prank for the first 5 minutes. I thought I would think that it would be like some sort of joke. And I'd just be like, surely not.
Hey, babe, when it comes to, I mean, Angus, you could probably relate with this. I don't have a dog. I know you've got a dog, little Cobra. I do follow him on Instagram and, yeah, beautiful. But will Cobra have a say in who you choose? Because we all know that dogs know how, you know, they can pick up on certain energies when it comes to meeting new people. Will Cobra get a say in your, I guess, your guest potential love match?
He will definitely make an appearance. He won't, you know, he'll be kind of in and out, but he doesn't make an episode. But, you know, I feel like, yeah, definitely dogs do have a lot of, you know, a good intuition of people. But the thing with Cobra is that he's just a bit of an attention seeker. So, you know, any attention he can get, he'll fall in love with that person. So,
My last question for you, Brooke, is I'm friends with Matty J and had conversations with him about his two different seasons, one being with Georgia and then becoming the Bachelor himself. He said that he went into that second season, like you are, with a different headspace because he knew about essentially a love bubble, that the world isn't real within the house and then the existence of how your feelings really feel once you step out of it. Going in with that experience like you talked about, was your headspace a little bit different in that second season of knowing what to expect and also knowing maybe some red flags or things to look out for?
Absolutely. I think this time around you are the driver. So you're the one making decisions and choices and picking to, you know, for the dates. But I wanted to have a lot of input and I wanted to have a lot of say. And I think production definitely let me do that. I had ideas and stuff like that. They would let me throw them out. So that's
awesome.
You come with a bit more experience having done it twice over, obviously doing Bachelor and then Paradise. I think that helped me also really trust in the process and kind of really lean into it. As you can imagine, like there's so much to it. And I think my first season of The Bachelor, it was such a whirlwind with like production and it's so new to you. But this time around, it was like catching up with my friends, like hanging out with them every day. Like, yeah, the crew were literally my friends. I saw them every day. You know, they've seen you in the first season. They watched me basically in the first season and they were really supportive and really kind of were gunning for this for me as well because they know me and they know my personality. So I think, I feel like Matty J, I agree with him. Like you go in with a bit more, I think I was a bit more headstrong. I think I was a bit more determined this time.
I just think when I think like behind the scenes of like the Bachelorette or Bachelor, I'm thinking the, you know, that Stan program, Unreal, where it was like behind the scenes, it was so like full on. Can you confirm that it's not like that?
It is so not like that. I think that is an extreme level. Obviously, that's a hugely like entertainment level of like really elaborating on what, you know, shooting reality TV shows like. And obviously, it's very similar to The Bachelor. So, not so much like that. But, you know, it's crazy when you're on a date and then you look around and it's like all this camera and crew around and you're like, oh, forgot that you were there for a sec.
Well, Brooke, we wish you all the best.
Sorry, guys. I'm back.
No worries, all good.
Thanks, Brooke. We're looking forward to seeing who you pick at the end. And this season of The Bachelorette is surely going to be an interesting one. So thanks for your time.
Thank you, Angus. Thanks, guys, so much.
Bye.
See ya. Bye.
This is Weekend Breakfast.
What's the weird thing that your parent does? Now, my mama Jules, she does a lot of weird things. But I went and got my nails done at one of my girlfriend's house the other day, right? Now, she just has an at-home little nail beauty
setup.
Yeah, and my mum's a nail tech, but I don't let my mum do my nails because it's like, you know when your mum, I don't know if you can relate to this, Gussie, but when
Probably not, Jules.
No, but I mean,
I don't know if you can relate to this, Angus, as a girl.
Well, you could have had long hair as a kid.
Okay.
I don't know.
Sure.
But, you know, when you're a girl and you got long hair and as a kid, your mum will brush your hair like it's not attached to your neck, right?
Yeah.
And Mama Jules is the same with nails. She makes me bleed. She cuts my nail. Like, yo, it's horrible. So I never get my nails done by my mum. I always go to someone else. And this instance was with one of my girlfriends. It was at her house. And her mum comes over and looks after the kids while she does her nail clients, right? And I'm sitting there getting my nails done, we're having a conversation, and all of a sudden I hear the vacuum start up, which isn't like unusual in a household.
Of course not.
However, it was coming from outside. And I was like, okay, maybe they're just like out like vacuuming like the back.
Taking a rug out.
I don't know. Yep. I look out the window and through these sheer curtains, her mum is vacuuming the grass. And I'm like, what is going on out there? And I'm looking like at my girlfriend going, is this really, is your mom vacuuming the grass? She just starts laughing. She goes, yeah, she does it all the time. I'm like, wait, why? She's like, she just gets vacuums up all the leaves and the debris off the top of the grass. And I was like, that has got to be.
Is it, do they have an outside vacuum thing, or do they bring that Dyson back inside?
No, it goes back inside. She had an extension cord for it as well too, so she could get into the furthest corners. She was vacuuming up the leaves on the grass. And I was like, don't own a rake. You know, I'm sure that does the same thing. Apparently a vacuum is quicker, and so would a blower, I guess. But, yeah.
Vacuuming the backyard. Real grass or artificial?
No, it's real grass. Bizarre. But it was really nicely like manicured grass. So it's that short. I don't know what you called.
Lawn porn.
But it's like that short grass. Like it's not buffalo. It's a short
not
grass.
Sir Walter. Okay,
no,
I get you.
It was like, it was
just a
short
nice
grass.
Cooch.
It was, yes, and it was nice and green, and she was vacuuming up the leaves. And I was just like, what does your parents do that is just weird?
Lauren in Brisbane, what's the weird thing your parents do?
So my dad's kind of obsessed with his cat, and whenever he leaves the house, he has to leave the TV on so that the cat doesn't get lonely.
For the cat, you know what? I know that there's dogs right now at home listening to us. People like their radios on for their pets.
It's weird. Like, the animals, they don't care.
Yeah.
They've got feelings too. Thank you, Lauren. $200 salt and pepper voucher coming your way. Appreciate your call. Chelsea in Bondi on 131060. Tell us the weird thing your parent does.
My dad, when my friends come over, thinks it's funny to name drop celebrities as if he knows them.
What do you mean? Oh, like, who does he name drop?
So, like, we'll be, like, hanging out in the kitchen, whatever, and Dad will come home and be like, oh, how's work? He's like, oh, you know, Beyonce was just, like, super busy. And she just kept calling me for help, and I was like, no, I'm at work. You need to stop calling me.
I mean, at least say someone who's actually in Australia.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
Oh, Chris Hemsworth walked past whatever.
Oh, go with Magda Sabansky over Beyonce.
This is Weekend Breakfast.
We've got Kim Sealing-Smith joining us, who is a future of work expert. Good morning.
Good morning.
What does the future of work look like?
Well, the future of work is really individual, actually. You know, we are moving into a one size fits all, fits none paradigm. So the managers who are managing the workforce in the future are really, you know, it's a big ask, actually, because the old days of the one size fits all policies are really gone. And managers really need to take the time to understand what their individual employees need. So it's going to be a big ask and a big culture shift.
Okay, so the reason why this is happening is because a lot of people, obviously, we've all been in lockdown, and especially those in Victoria for a very long time. It's given them that time to really, I guess, reconsider what's important in their life. Is that the reason why they're deciding to make this change?
Yeah, there are a few reasons, actually. So that's absolutely part of it. So after months of lockdown, there are two things that are almost, you know, not really irrational, but illogical, very emotional. And that is, I just want to change. I'm tired of looking at the same four walls, the same people on Zoom screens. I just want to change. And maybe if I change jobs, that will give me the change. And connected to that, there are some people who are saying, you know, I just want control back in my life. I've you know, the world's in chaos and I want to control. So one of the things that I can control is where I work. But on the flip side, there are some other things that, you know, people have woken up to the point where there are more jobs than candidates to fill them in many, many industries. And people are feeling more secure about the fact that they can look for something that really ticks their boxes. They don't have to put up with bad managers, bad work environments, you know, long commutes or open plan offices that people don't like because they find them disruptive.
Kim, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it.
This is Weekend Breakfast.
Speaking of pets, well, not pets, but animals in general, my sister came across something in her backyard.
An alligator?
No, nothing exciting, nothing like a Florida story. Okay. Well, I think it's exciting for bird enthusiasts. A family of tawny frogmouths have made their way into the gum tree in the front of her yard.
Are they rare?
I'm not so sure about the rarity of them, except they are a cool-looking animal.
Okay.
Do you know, like, you have parakeets and they're colourful, they're interesting, yeah. Whereas tawny frogmouths are quite an ugly bird, but an interesting bird to look at. Kind of looks like an owl.
I was going to say, aren't they a part of the owl family?
Maybe. Then look into the species. But they've set up shop in the gum tree at the front of Hannah's house, my sister. Yeah. And it's been kind of a interesting spectacle for the family. She's my niece, Hannah's daughter, Zeffie, is nearly 4 years old. She loves it. So they go out the front and they see the tawny frogmouth. It started with one. So they started with mummy, baby tawny, and then the dad's arrived. And now there's a family.
Oh, wow.
And so my sister put into the community group that she lives in. So the area has its own community Facebook group.
Yeah,
so
this is where you can like share information about what's happening in the neighborhood,
exactly.
Right?
It could be, you know, watch out for my bike that's been stolen 1 week. Next week it could be, hey, everyone, don't forget it's hard rubbish collection. Put out your bricks and bracks.
Lock your doors, I got broken into. That
All
kind
of that
stuff.
Kind of stuff. You know, it's a very community vibe where my sister lives in regional Victoria. And so Hannah put into the Facebook group a photo. And she said, hey, guys. I have a family of tawny frogmouths living at the front. Does anybody know if this is rare or does anyone know why they're taking up coop here?
Yeah.
And she deleted it an hour later.
Why? What happened?
Because a bird expert hopped in there and said, you have a mouse problem at your house. So tawny frogmouths, apparently, if they roost, look out because they're there to find mice. And so Hannah's like, oh, wow, now the whole community knows that I've got a rat-infested
She's
house.
She's got a mouse plague happening.
It's Weekend Breakfast.
This is Weekend Breakfast.